There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good afternoon, Dr. Thryer.
Good afternoon.
You're looking very tanned.
I was on a slight vacation.
Oh, nice. Where'd you go?
Well, I went to the Philippines. I was at a conference in Singapore. And then I was like, you know what? I'll take a couple of days off. Just pop into the Philippines for a bit and then come back. And
so I did. How was it?
It was beautiful. Beautiful. Sun was amazing. Clouds, beach, just
clouds.
Gorgeous.
So where did you go?
I went to El Nido and Coron. So it was very beautiful.
And it's more backpacky than luxe style.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not a very poor country, but there are some poor areas. And so the hotels are not, you know, the big chains, the five stars. It's just, but beautiful hotels nevertheless. But definitely a backpacking trip more than it is a luxurious sort of chilled trip.
Well, you are glowing.
Thank you.
Afternoon. And thank you for our fridge magnet. So really, really excited to have you on the show this afternoon to talk about the topic of boredom in marriages. And, you know, why people cheat and what people can do to, first of all, kind of bust that boredom. And we're not going to be recommending, you know, token date nights here and there. I think there have been many an article written about that, but really getting to the root of why boredom can kind of set in relationships, either early on or after decades and decades. So if you've got any questions or comments on this topic, please do get in touch 4001 or via the Dubai Eye Messenger app. Let me read you this from a book that I literally finished reading last week. This is from Meg Wolowitz's book called The Wife. All over the world, husbands and wives routinely and somewhat pointlessly ask one another, are you okay? It's part of the contract. It's the thing you do because it implies you care, that you're paying attention when in fact you might be deeply and relentlessly bored. And I think a lot of people will kind of resonate with that. We're getting into that kind of humdrum of routine and relationship and really moving away from who you were when you first met and who that person is that you married. So let's talk about kind of life stages of love. Can you just give us a quick kind of snapshot of you fall in love, hormones, you know, lust, this amazing kind of fuzzy honeymoon phase, and then what happens and when?
Well, when we start with meeting a person, right? So you have that initial, what we call, what you just said, the honeymoon phase. This is on average between 6 to 8 months, but could go anywhere from 3 months to about a year. And this is usually where everything is so exciting, so novel, so, you know, so spontaneous. Everything is just so beautiful. You get the butterflies in the stomach and you miss the person. You can't wait to see them. And you tell everybody every single detail about that individual.
We call that mentionitis, where you just find any excuse to bring their name into a conversation.
Exactly. Mentionitis. I like that. And so that's the honeymoon phase, where everything that you see in the relationship is pretty much extremely fake as well, because that part of the relationship,
keeping it real, Dr. Thryer.
Well, because that part of the relationship is really like everybody's putting their best foot forward. They're trying to impress the other person. They're really at their top of their game.
It's so funny you should say that. So my husband and I were set up on a blind date. That's how we met. And we exchanged emails at the beginning, and I read back over the emails a few months ago. Oh, we were trying so hard. We were trying, man. We were funny, but we were really trying. And I go back and go, oh, bless us. And now that, you know, the emails are more like, oh, can you book that flight? Oh, you know,
get this done.
Reminder
don't
to buy dog
to bring
food.
Some yogurt.
Yeah, exactly. But it is putting that your best foot forward and trying, and you spend, you know, 7 hours in a coffee shop just talking about life and philosophy and love and you know, everything, and it's all magical.
Right. And you're getting to know the person. You're really starting to evaluate whether or not this is a person you want to continue the relationship with. So it's actually a very beautiful stage in a relationship. And when I say fake, I don't mean that people consciously are doing it on purpose. It's just, it's fake because it's not the real you. You're trying too hard, like you had mentioned.
It's the best version of you, but it's not a sustainable state.
Exactly. And so that once that spontaneous, passionate, what most people call in love kind of being, usually fades. And it doesn't fade as in it disappears. It just what we call matures. And it goes from that passion to compassion. And that's where your relationship starts to get into a more routine thing. You're not really learning so much new information about the individual, especially when you become married. You start to, you know, the person and you know about their life, you know about different experiences that they've had. So there's so much information that you already know. So there's not much to talk about. And this is where it gets really interesting, because this is where the true test of the relationship comes into play. Because in the beginning of a relationship, that beautiful feeling is there because everything's new and it's interesting.
Yeah, everything to be discovered. You're both kind of mysterious.
Right. Exactly. But as that matures and it becomes a little bit more routine, that's where people will think or will mistakenly believe that they're starting to get bored of the relationship.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about expectations then, because I think that can play a really big part. You know, we're surrounded by, you know, rom-coms and Instagram where everybody's, you know, kissing in front of amazing landmarks and blah, 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 blah. And comparing that then to our own relationships can be very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of expectations, do people generally go into relationships thinking, we're in love, we're going to feel like this until we're old and grey?
Absolutely. And I think there are three major sources of expectations that people have about relationships. And I think the most detrimental one comes from Hollywood. And that's usually because...
Or Bollywood.
Or Bollywood. Well, from the movie industry and the for and sure. the media industry. And the reason for that is because what you portray is really just the best of everything. And because obviously you're not going to watch a movie that lasts 50 years. You need it
exactly.
to last... You need to last for an hour and a half, maximum 2 hours.
And at the end of it, you know, they kiss, they get married. What you don't see is the humdrum of the decades after that.
Of course. You're only seeing a really quick version of everything that they've experienced. And so Hollywood gives us, or Bollywood, or, you know, media in general, gives us this idea that relationships are beautiful and they're exciting all the time, and fun stuff happens all the time, and he gets roses for her and she does like something spontaneous for him, and that happens all the time. They miss out on the routine, the everyday actual experiences. And that sets a lot of pressure on couples, because when they see that, then women or even men start to look at each other and say, well, why doesn't he or she do that for me? Or when did this stop? Rather than realize that it didn't stop, it's just now matured into something different.
And I think when you go out and socialize as well, you don't see your friend couples as they are behind closed doors either. You see them with their best foot forward and their best face on, and they're not going to be having their domestic, hopefully not, arguments in front of you. So then you're getting a skewed perception of what even your peers
absolutely
are like.
And that actually goes to the source number two, that is the social media. So Instagram, Facebook, your friends in general, where you look at them and you don't really know what happens behind closed doors. So all of a sudden you see these beautiful couples that are holding hands, that are just like hugging each other, taking pictures, like you said, in front of beautiful backgrounds. And so you're constantly thinking and comparing, why don't I have that? Or why doesn't my partner and I do something like that? So that's the second source. The third source that's quite significant and influential in the expectations that we have are our parents. And so our parents sort of are the first relationship that we ever see in our life. And what we experience from them is what we either take on as expectations for ourselves, or we go the other extreme where we say, well, this is something I definitely do not want in my life. So they definitely inform us about our relationships and our expectations of relationships further on in our life.
And that, as you said, could be a positive or a negative mm-hmm. impact, kind of running away from, you know, a cheating parent and not wanting to not model that behavior, and or having an amazing relationship with your parents and seeing that they've got an amazing relationship and then striving towards that.
Right.
I mean, my dad's amazing, so I'm always like, oh, I'd love to meet a man, you know, like my dad, and I'm very happily married. But having that high standard actually for a long time was very difficult
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you idealize them in so many ways. So three main areas there. What's the difference between boredom and being comfortable?
So boredom is usually like you're looking for something new, whereas comfort is you feel safe. That's what it is. So boredom is this idea of looking for something different and looking for change.
The kind of restlessness, not feeling satisfied.
Right. Because boredom requires a solution, whereas comfort doesn't. You're just sort of, I'm comfortable here, I'm okay here, I'm feeling good here, versus boredom is that, like, that itchiness, exactly what you said, that restlessness, that I need something to be different. This is not okay for me. Like, I'm not happy where I'm at. You're just looking for, you keep looking for more rather than just being satisfied with what you have currently.
Okay, I'm going to play you a bit of Kramer from Seinfeld talking about his take on marriage.
Hey, what? I had a very interesting lunch with George Costanza today.
Really?
We were talking about our lives, yeah. And we both kind of realized we're kids.
We're not men.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something. There isn't.
There isn't?
Absolutely not. I mean, what are you thinking about, Jerry? Marriage? Family?
Well,
they're prisons. Man-made prisons. You're doing time. You get up in the morning, she's there. You go to sleep at night, she's there. It's like you gotta ask permission to use the bathroom.
Is it all right if I use the bathroom?
Really? Yeah, and you can forget about watching TV while you're eating.
I can?
Oh, yeah. You know why? Because it's dinner time. And you know what you do at dinner?
What? You talk about your day.
How was your day today? Did you have a good day today or a bad day today? Well, what kind of day was it?
Well, I don't know. How about you? How was your day?
Boy, it's sad, Jerry. It's a sad state of affairs.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Oh, you have no idea.
Kramer and Jerry Seinfeld having a little chat about the realities of marriage for many. Joined this afternoon by Dr. Thoraya, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic, to guide us through the difficult topic of boredom in marriage and infidelity, and most importantly, to answer your questions and address any concerns that you might have. This is your free clinic for some free advice, and you can, of course, remain anonymous. You can message us on 4001, you can give us a call 04 423 1010, or you can message us on the Dubai Eye app, available for iOS and Android. Here's a tweet that I enjoyed, Thoraya. This is from Eric Shadow, a comedian in the States. He said, "My son asked what it's like to be married, so I deleted all the music on his iPod except one song." Harsh. Now, we're making light a little bit of boredom in marriage, but actually it can be very, very emotionally distressing for many people, and feeling trapped a lot of the time in what may feel like a loveless marriage. And I just really wanted to ask you, if we talked about the honeymoon phase ending after a year and us getting into then a more matured relationship that's about compassion rather than passion, but what can you do if you do feel like you want to get back to where you started from, or just to feel a bit more excitement about your relationship?
I mean, excitement in a relationship is necessary and it's very important, but to go back to the way that you were is an impossible feat.
Unrealistic.
Yes, okay. And extremely unrealistic. So I would say definitely battling boredom has to first start with battling your perceptions and your expectations, and really defining what you mean by boredom. Is it that you expect that everything in your marriage or in your life to be given to you by your spouse or satisfied by your spouse? Then that's not boredom. That's unfulfillment within yourself. And so you have become extremely dependent on your spouse to give you everything and to make you happy. But what boredom actually should be referring to is sort of getting into a routine where you're no longer feeling satisfied with the life that you have. And that routine comes not it comes from a place where you're satisfied with the things that you have in your life. You're not dependent on your spouse for anything in terms of emotional support and things like that. You're interdependent but not dependent, but at the same time you feel like there's something else we could be doing. There's something we could do every once in a while to spice up our life. We could be communicating in different ways, or we can be doing different things. Because usually as time passes, people sort of get into a routine where they think it's okay to just keep the status quo, which is not necessarily the case, because we all like some excitement every once in a while.
Of course, I think it actually really speaks to this trend that I've seen again and again online recently of kind of fetishizing this, let's not go out, let's stay home, watch Netflix and, you know, hang out, which everybody enjoys that kind of thrill of cancelling plans here and there. But if you're not actually getting out into the world, you're not really enriching your life. So this whole, you know, oh yeah, cancel friends, happy days, that's kind of cute here and there. But if you are repeatedly cancelling plans, being flaky, not kind of getting out of the house and experiencing new things, meeting new people, it could probably is a pretty of a slippery slope.
Of course, because then that might lead into something which is actual boredom, where you've just put yourself in a situation where really your life has just become, you go to work, you come home, you watch some Netflix, you go to sleep, you wake up, you go to work, you come home. You know,
and you're isolated and people don't think of inviting you places anymore because you always say no or you always flake out.
Exactly. And that can even happen in a single life.
Of
it doesn't have to only be in a married life. So that's what we mean when we talk about boredom. Boredom doesn't come from a person. Boredom comes from within. So if you are feeling bored in your marriage, it's because there's something within you that you are not doing to fulfill yourself. However, if there's unhappiness in the marriage, then that's a different issue. It's completely different, because what we want to distinguish is between what is happening within us and what's actually really occurring within the marriage.
Okay, let's go to some messages. 4001 or use the Dubai Eye app if you want to have your say. Linda says, in most cases, it is narcissism, not boredom. What's your take on that,
Dr. Well, I wouldn't use the word narcissism just because it's a little bit more diagnostic than anything. But I would say that it's accurate in the sense of entitlement. So that idea that I need to be happier.
And you need to be fixing this for me.
Exactly. Exactly. That idea of like, I'm not going to take ownership and accountability. You need to be the one, because we are all of a sudden in a couple. And for some reason, this... a facade of relationships is that this person is going to complete me. They're going to give me the things that I don't already have. If that's how you go into a relationship, boredom will always be there eventually, and you will always be unhappy, because the reality is people are not supposed to complete you. They're supposed to compliment you.
Ooh, I wish you were around 10 years ago for me, Dr. Thryer. Right, let me read you this message that came in. And as I said, they can, of course, be completely anonymous. If you want to ask any question or have any concern addressed by Dr. Thryer this afternoon, it can be anonymous. A message here saying, I hate to say this, but I'm so bored in my marriage. My husband doesn't seem to cherish or desire me, and I know I could be trying harder too. We have nothing to talk about apart from the children, frequently fight about money and our parents, and I don't get any joy from him at all. The thought of living like this for the rest of my life fills me with dread. I don't even know if I love him anymore. Should I walk away?
Well, answering that question is extremely impossible for me, because ultimately I can't decide whether or not a person should walk away. That's their decision. But what I can say is that that doesn't sound like boredom. What that sounds like is a lot of ineffective communication between husband and wife. And before walking away from a marriage, I think it's very important for people to re-examine their role in what's happening. Because it's very easy for us to pinpoint and to blame the other person that's sitting in front of us. But we have a lot of difficulty looking within ourselves at what we are doing to contribute to the way the relationship is going. And yes, sometimes we might, in certain situations, it could be the other individual's doing, but we always have a role. And that's important. There's a great book called Mistakes Were Made But Not By Me. And I forget the author of the book, but it's a great book highlighting exactly that. The idea that we're quick to point fingers, but we're not quick to change within ourselves. So, Or take any responsibility. Exactly. And so it's important to really look at what are the things that you're doing that are contributing to this kind of pattern and routine, and what can you change without expecting the person to change first? Because, you know, that usually happens as well. There's a lot of pride in relationships, and what ends up happening is when I work with couples, they tell me things like, well, you know, he's not changing or she's not changing, so why should I change? And I say, you change for you. And if the person changes with you, then that leads to a stronger marriage. If the person doesn't change with you, then you can eventually, if you want to walk away, you can walk away with your head high, knowing that you did everything that you could in this marriage, but not sort of expecting and saying to yourself that I'm going to wait for this person to do it before I do it. Then in that case, you're starting off already on the wrong foot.
Dr. Thryer joining us this afternoon, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. If you'd like to have your say on marriage boredom and ultimately infidelity, do get in touch, 4001 or the Dubai Eye Messenger app. When we come back, we're asking, why do people cheat? My question to you, Dr. Thryer, is why do some people cheat?
Well, a lot of the different reasons that people come up with will depend on the actually cultures, but mostly, more often than not, we look at the theoretical perspectives that come from the idea behind cheating. And when we talk about theory, we usually first go to the evolutionary perspective. And the evolutionary perspective talks about the fact that, especially men, more than anything, men cheat because they need to invest in many offspring. If you will.
That's a nice way of saying sowing some oats.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes. And on top of
which
that...
Which is a nice way of saying something that we can't say.
And the idea is that the evolutionary perspective says that women aren't the ones who are supposed to cheat because of the fact that at the time, men would know that these were their kids if the woman was faithful, but they were spreading their seat.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. We've actually got Chris on the line, who's going to have his say on this topic. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for calling me.
Pleasure. What would you like to share with us this afternoon?
I go back to the book written by Dr. Gray.
Yes.
And he said men are from Venus and women are from Mars.
Yeah, John Gray, yeah.
There couldn't be more right on that. in most cases, everything I want to do, my wife doesn't like what I do.
So you have very different interests.
And whatever she does doesn't interest me very much. I think the common ground between us is less than 20%. You know, if she wants to go for a movie, for example, I don't like going for movies very often, once in a way. And every time we sit together watching television, it would be an hour, and then she'd say, "You're not talking to me." I said, "What am I supposed to do?" "No, you have to talk to me." And I said, you're welcome to start the discussion and I will participate. She said, "No, you have to start the discussion." So I'm supposed to bring in topics for discussion every day. I have to be...
And do you? Do you
do that? And then, it goes back. Like every day she sees a school teacher,
mm-hmm.
and she would get up very much early, almost 2 hours before the transport comes to go to school,
mm-hmm.
and she'll say, you don't even look at me, and when I'm dressed up, how am I looking? That's the question she wants me to answer every day. How do I look with my new clothes?
So she feels she needs some more compliments from you, Chris.
More compliments all the time. She has 365 pairs of dress, and I don't know how many shoes and how many bags.
Speaking as a woman and a wife, I think it's just safer to compliment all the time, even if you've seen it a million times. And often saying you look nice is not enough. You want to use the superlatives. You're the most beautiful woman in the world. You make me so happy. Don't be afraid of laying it on a bit thick, I would say.
I understand that, but I may be preoccupied with some other thoughts,
I'm sure.
So I'm not focusing on that all the time.
She's telling you what she wants and what she needs. Are you telling her what you want and what you need?
I never tell her anything. I said I don't want anything. I go with life as it comes. For example, traveling all over the world, bucket list. Her bucket list starts from Alaska and ends up in China. There's not a single place in the world she doesn't want to see. And I don't want to see all these places. I said, I have a life. I want to do things I like. And it doesn't matter whether I go to China or not. So, but then her thinking is different. So we have arguments and all these things. But however, I try to stay together. I'm not distracted to go to another woman at all. It doesn't make sense. It's a temporary relief that somebody would get. But on a long term, you're complicating your life much better. And I have two daughters. My biggest, concern is I always want the approval of my daughters. I don't want to do anything wrong. And if my daughters would stop talking to me, that would be very hard on me. So I keep our relationship intact.
You know, Chris, I have to say, you can tell your wife I said so, that she's very lucky to have you. Because really, there were... You know, the mindset that you have is extremely, extremely honorable. Because the reality is, yes, you have difficulties in your marriage, and every marriage has difficulties, but you don't look outwards and you worry about how your kids would be affected, and you think of it, and because your values are as such, you match your behavior according to your values. And she is a very lucky woman. However, when we go back to the idea of the arguments that are happening between the two of you, I think it's important that, because I'm hearing a lot of expectations that your wife has of you, but also something that Helen said was really important is that you're not really sharing with her your expectations. And I know you think you don't have any expectations. You just want some peace and quiet at home and maybe just to relax. But the reality is that you have your own expectations, and maybe the expectation of not being pressured to constantly say something to her, maybe not being pressured to give her everything and visit every country in the world. These are also things that are important for you. And so it's important that you and your wife have these conversations in an effective manner and to communicate and find middle grounds. You don't always have to agree on things, but it's always good to find middle grounds and sort of a place where the both of you can be satisfied and happy with the solution.
Yeah, I as I said, if I get something, okay, even if I don't get what I want, I don't get disappointed. For example, when we're sitting and watching television, I like to watch Barclays Premier League. And she would put in some other program. I said, all right, it's all yours. It doesn't matter. at the time when she's not going to watch anything, I'll put on the TV and watch what I want. So, you know, my expectations is very limited. You know, I want to keep everything going as it is, you know. So I want to tell the other people, I don't know what they think as, if they're going to fall for some other woman after the age of 45, 50, and they have their own children, they are going to complicate their life much, much more than what it is today.
Chris, I think that's wise words to leave it on. Thank you, sir, for coming on this afternoon. Niz is just messaging going, sounds just like me and my husband. I think a lot of this will be resonating with people across the region this afternoon. Now, we were talking earlier about why do people cheat. So give if you're in a relationship that you're unhappy in, why are some people predisposed to cheating and looking out of that marriage for another relationship? And some people, it simply wouldn't cross their minds, Dr. Thrower.
Well, as mentioned before, there are different perspectives that look at it, right? So there's the evolutionary perspective of men just want to sow the fields. And then there's the perspective of the inequity, where the relationship feels as if one person has more or is getting more, and the other person is missing something, and so they look outwards. And then there's also the perspective of how much am I really committed. It's the investment model. So how much am I committed to this actual relationship? And the commitment will then lead to the infidelity. But the reality is that there's so many different reasons why people cheat. It's not just one reason. It's not only because there's something wrong with the marriage or wrong with the person, or, you know, it's a personality thing. Cheating also happens in happy marriages. This is just the reality of life. Also, there are different personality characteristics of those who cheat. People that are very impulsive, those that don't really have the empathy to think of their partner, those that are extremely extroverted. So there are many different reasons why, but we tend to look at just the, we tend to focus on the couple and the relationship. So we tend to say things like, you know, she doesn't pay enough attention to him, or he doesn't compliment her enough, or, you know, these kinds of things. But the reality is it's not as simplistic as people think it is.
We've had a question in 4001. If you've got any concerns or would like Dr. Thrower's advice, lady messaging in, and can be completely anonymous, don't forget. I found out about 9 months ago, before we moved to Dubai, that my husband had had a short affair with someone else about a year ago. I decided to stay with him and work on the relationship. We have young children, although they are not the reason I stayed. We are keen to see a marriage counsellor here, but I'm scared about confidentiality, as cheating is illegal. If we see someone, will they report him, or do they keep it confidential?
Absolutely not. We do not report these kinds of things. As long, you know, the marriage is very sacred, and our confidentiality, the limits to confidentiality in general with psychologists are threefold. So if there's a subpoena by law by the courts, we have to release the information. If there's child abuse in the house, or if there's any kind of harm that the person wants to do to themselves or to somebody else. Other than that, we do not release information. So if there is infidelity and the couple wants to work on it, that stays within the relationship of the therapist.
Okay, I hope that helps. Joined this afternoon by Dr. Thrower, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic, talking about infidelity this afternoon. And if you've got any questions or comments, do get in touch. Ashley Smash is going, love that guy, Chris. Chris is great. We've had lots of questions coming in. We'll get to them after this. And we're also going to be talking about why cheating does happen in a happy relationship. Stay with us. Now, we are joined by Maria. Are you there, Maria?
Hello. Hi.
Yes. Hi. I've got Dr. Thrower here. Can you share your question or your experience with us?
Actually, the thing that I wanted to say was that I've been married for almost 7 years now, and my marriage was an arranged marriage. Well, semi-arranged, because we were family friends, but I guess arranged, since we weren't dating or anything like that. So before marriage, my husband was a typical party animal. He cheated on girls here and there, you know, typical playboy. So I didn't really know him like that until I got married. So now I know he's not doing all that, but in the back of my mind, I always have that, you know, that's his personality trait from before. Oh my God, what if it happens again? This and that. And also because he, whenever you're watching a show or if he sees a nice girl, he just, the way he compliments them kind of makes me insecure, I guess. And I don't know, I just have it in the back of my mind. What if he becomes like that again? Or what if that part of him comes back? Or, I don't know, that's what I just wanted to
So you've got some
there.
Kind of fears and insecurities.
Yeah.
Has he done anything apart from making comments?
He hasn't. I mean, if he goes somewhere, I know what he's doing, where he is. It's nothing like that. But I don't know why, it's just because of the way he used to be before. So I, the typical playboy type thing, you know, the guy that was always with 10 girls. So in my head, I'm always just like, oh my God, what if he's out here or there? So I don't know. That's, I'm just afraid of that coming out in the future, because what if he gets bored because he's so used to being with so many different girls? What if I'm not good enough because he's been with XYZ?
Maria, it really sounds like this topic makes you quite anxious. To be quite honest, let me ask you a question. Are you the same person you were 7 years ago?
No, but I was never...
Have you changed in terms of the way that you behave, the way that you act, the way that you think ever since you've been married?
Yeah, of course. We both have changed.
Right.
And
so basically, that's one of the things that you want to keep in mind when these mm-hmm. fears come up. Your fears are, it's not that they're not valid. They're valid because of what you know about your husband beforehand. But also you want to recognize that people change and people are, and if they're not giving you reasons or any kind of evidence to allude to the fact that he may be cheating on you, then there's, the worry isn't going to change anything anyways. I mean, ultimately the fact that you keep thinking about this and you worry about this is going to ultimately change the way you behave towards him, and that might lead to something that you're scared of happening to begin with. This is not to say that it would be your fault, but it's important for us to not have this self-fulfilling prophecy where we're so worried about something that we behave in a way that ends up sometimes causing that behavior. So what you need to remind yourself of is mm-hmm. that, you know, your husband was a different person before he met you. And now that you guys are married, he's a different person now. The same way you were different before you married him, and now you're a different person. Now, you can mention and talk to him about the fact that it makes you uncomfortable that he says certain comments. If it does, you can talk to him and be honest with him about things that worry you. But the reality is that if your husband's not showing you any kind of reason for you to feel insecure in the relationship, when you continue to doubt him, he's going to start doubting himself and start to think that mm-hmm. what am I doing that's contributing to her feeling like I would get bored or
yeah.
I would cheat.
I don't know why, but I feel like sooner or later it's gonna happen. If not now, maybe tomorrow, maybe 5 years, maybe 3 years, you know. I don't know why it's always in my head. I don't know how to get it out.
Sometimes when we think about when we love something so much, we worry about losing it. It's sort of the same thing when you think of your family members. You don't want to lose your family members, but ultimately we can't predict the future. And when you worry so much about everything that could happen rather than focusing on what is happening now, you get lost in that and you'll lose out on so much great time you can have with your husband now. So it's really important for you to focus on what's happening and what your relationship like is with your husband now, and hope for things to work out in the future. But worrying about him possibly getting bored or possibly cheating later on is not going to help your relationship, neither in the future nor even now.
All right, that's really helpful. I actually just needed to hear that. I mean, you kind of know what it is, but you just need to hear it from someone else. So I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks. If you'd like to have any advice from Dr. Thryer this afternoon on the show, do get in touch 4001. You can give us a call 04-423-1010 or use the Dubai iMessenger app. And it can, of course, be anonymous if you prefer. Text that's come in saying, recently engaged and planning to legally sign quite soon. However, I seem to find myself at a fork in the road. There is some resistance from my family who have a strong influence on me, but I also feel like I have communications issues with my fiancé. There are times when we're not on the same page and there's some underlying tension which goes unresolved at times. We do have the utmost respect and admiration for another, but there is a slightest bit of reluctance on my end though. I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback.
You know, it's very natural for people to have a little bit of doubts right before they, you know, they make things official. And it's very mindful of you to have thought of the fact that there are some communication difficulties between you and your fiance. Now, I would suggest actually getting some help and working on those communication difficulties, either together, or if you don't feel like you can do it alone, getting somebody to mediate. Sometimes family is really good at that. Sometimes getting professional help is good as well. I mean, ultimately, working on these issues use before you get married is really important, because unfortunately for a lot of couples, what they end up doing is saying, you know, once we get married, everything will fix.
And no, then they do the whole like, well, let's have kids and that'll fix everything.
Exactly.
Too.
And actually things get worse that way. They don't get better. So you have to address the issues as they come along. And so now if you're noticing that there are some communication difficulties, this is the perfect time for you to address them, either together with family members or with a professional.
Hope that helps. Anonymous message here saying, what are your thoughts on polyamory? Polyamory? Loving more than one person. I personally don't have the attention span, time, or finances.
It's a very tough question, because, you know, actually I was talking to Joe a little bit before, the producer, and I was saying that you know out of the 1,231 cultures that we have in the world, 84% of them are actually polyamorous and polygamous, and only 15% of
wow.
cultures in this world are monogamous. But the 15% of cultures, those are bigger cultures. So
yes.
That's what we see more, is this monogamous behavior. But really, when you look at all the cultures around the world, there's much more polyamorous and polygamous kind of relationships. I don't have enough experience working with polyamorous relationships. Polygamous relationships, yes, but not polyamorous relationships. And so it's not my specialty, but I do see that in many cultures it can work if the stigma behind it is not there. And I think that's very influential in terms of the social environment that you live in as well, because in polyamorous relationships, the culture itself seems to agree with it and seems to think that this works, and it does work in their culture. So what ends up happening is that it's their norm. And when you look at it from polyamorous relationships and monogamous cultures, that's where they start to feel a little bit off. They feel like they're not confident in their relationship. So this is where I think makes that difference, is what you find to be natural in your space.
And what, as you say, what's surrounding you, what you know is your norm,
right?
And that could be if there are lots of divorces around you, then divorce becomes the norm. Or
of course,
if you see lots of couples, you know, cheating and having affairs, then that becomes the norm. We are talking about infidelity this afternoon here on Dubai Eye with Dr. Thuraya. If you'd like to have any questions or concerns, or even just want to have your say free, I'm Helen Farmer, and this is Dubai Today, live with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about infidelity this afternoon, and we're joined as ever by Dr. Thuraya, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic, to guide us through this tricky topic. Do get in touch if you'd like to have your say. You can give us a call, 04 423 1010. You can send us a message on the Dubai Eye app, or you can text us 4001. We've had lots of texts and comments, and we'll get to that in just 1 second. But first, we've got a caller. Oh, we did have a call, and we'll get him back. Pat the American has messaged in saying, as a guy who has been happily married for 24 years, I still think my wife is hot, funny, smart, etc. Not to say we haven't had hard times, even for long periods of time. My advice is for someone thinking of marriage and want longer term success, is think of the worst thing your other half could do to you. After that, if you still cannot live without them, then you have hope. If not, then do not marry. I remember when I got engaged, Dr. Thuraya, my mum saying quite early on, just saying, you know, don't be afraid to go and get marriage counselling if you need it. You know, your father and I did, and we never regretted it. And I never knew that they had. And as a result, I think I've got a much more open-minded approach to getting some help if times get tough. And times do get tough for a lot of people.
And I think it's a great thing that your mom said that, because it helps you with the expectations of not having this mindset that all marriages are perfect, and that sometimes marriages can have difficulty. So by her telling you that, she's showing you that marriage can be difficult at times, but
yeah,
it's not a make it or break it situation.
Exactly. It was a very realistic way of me going into marriage, actually. I did really, really appreciate it. Now, hello, is that Alex?
Yes.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Very good, very good.
What have you
nice
got?
Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. How can we help this afternoon? What would you like to say on our topic?
Very good topic, by the way.
Thank
I've been
you.
Brainstorming this issue since I was, 15 years old, and so it prompted me to do a live study, observing my mate, observing myself, and
mm-hmm.
being conscious about it. Now, I kind of came to a conclusion, kind of an evolving conclusion, so to speak. I believe the solution lies mostly with men having proper education from when they're small, you know, from young growing up, and also having society kind of help reinforce that education, so self-respect, self-discipline, and all that. If that is not done, then the problem just goes into hiding. So why do I say this? Earlier on, one of the commentators said something about cheating also happening in happy homes, you know.
Yes.
You know, happy homes. And that is what I've actually observed. So most men discover that, okay, their lives go upside down when the wife finds out or things like that. So they went into hiding. And some that I did observe were pretty good at it. So I started asking myself, well, what drives them in the first place to actually do this? And I noticed that it was mostly men who cheat and not women.
Dr. Thrive is shaking her head here. I think in terms of statistics, it was actually a lot closer than I thought in terms of, it's actually quite equal.
Yeah, so basically I said, okay, why is it that it's mostly men who cheat? Then I started just looking back at history and how things used to be, you know, in different societies, different cultures overall. And I noticed that oftentimes previous societies, by and large, to an extent, in some areas were polygamous.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. Then I also then noticed that also you have, if you want to look at it on an even scale, you literally have more women than men. So I started asking myself, is there some element about nature at play here and things like that? So bottom line, I came to the conclusion, society is what it is today. You cannot really, polygamy is not encouraged today, you know, most societies don't allow it. I mean, certain religions. So because that is not really socially enforced, the only solution is to have men learn how to control themselves, you know, control their nature. Because if that is not done from a small age and by society, the problem will cease to exist in the open, but will go into hiding. Because I know of many happy homes, and I know of guys who are actually cheating on their wife. And if you see them, you won't believe it. And you ask them, why do you do it? He says, I don't know, maybe it's just my nature. So to solve the problem...
Interesting. So you think it's all about education?
It's really all about education from small, and then society has to find a way to reinforce it. Because polygamy is no longer an option today. Many women in many societies will not want to have a guy go with multiple... I haven't seen a woman who wants to be with multiple men in her life. Most women are naturally just want to find one guy they love and they like and they stay with. But men somehow are never satisfied. I've actually noticed that. I've observed that. So you have a very wonderful wife, wonderful everything, but for some reason, I like to call it maybe misguided nature, they want to go out there and have multiples. If they can't have multiples, they have one, and then they do some kind of hanky-panky in the background.
Alex, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts. Really appreciate it. I think it's fair to say that, obviously, it's Alex's thoughts there, but it's a bit reductive to say that women don't cheat, because women do cheat.
Absolutely. And, you know, men cheat, and they cheat with women. So ultimately, a lot of those women are married as well. And to be honest, statistics will show that men that cheat usually cheat with women who are married.
Can we have a little bit of a breakdown on the reasons men cheat and the reasons that women would cheat?
Of course. So there's been a research that's been done highlighting a few reasons, and then they asked men and women to rate them as the reasons why they would cheat. And what they found were the men's top five reasons were in order. A, felt attracted to the other person. B, were bored with the current relationship. Then C, saw an opportunity and took it, so an impulsive decision. Four, or D, were unhappy in the current relationship. E, were made to feel attractive by the other partner. So in order, that's the top five reasons why men cheat. So the first one is usually attraction.
Okay.
And then the second one is boredom. Whereas for women, it's quite different. But when you think of it thematically, for men, it's usually quantity over quality. In terms of the reasons. Whereas for women, the top five in order are, and here's the ironic part, first one is attraction.
Really?
So same as men. First one is attraction to the other partner. Second one, instead of boredom, it's unhappiness in the relationship. And then the third is made to feel attractive by the other partner. The fourth one is being bored. And then the fifth one is the relationship was ending anyway.
So if you'd like to have your say on this, please do get in touch. Message saying, come on, women are rascals. safe to say it happens across all classes, all cultures, men and women. When we come back, we're going to be talking about why infidelity can indeed happen in a happy relationship. We're talking about boredom and unhappiness in marriages and infidelity. We've got lots of messages coming in. One from Pat that I can't read out on air. I'm going to have to start censoring you. And also one here. This is an interesting one, Dr. Thrower. I'm a married man that travels for business quite often. When I'm abroad, I sample from life's bounties. I suffer no guilt and notice it makes me more loving and attentive to the needs of my family. What do you think about that? What do I think about that? I'd be very intrigued how you'd feel if your wife was sampling some of life's bounties. So yeah, interesting. But yeah, do get your message in if you want to have your say. 4001, give us a call, 04-423-1010, or get in touch on the Dubai Eye app. Now, Rana, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, Rana, how are you? How can we help this afternoon?
I just wanted to actually draw your attention to an important point, that cheating doesn't always have to be physical.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it can only be by spending extra time with, let's say, your colleague, a person that you're not sure actually whether he or she is a colleague, or maybe more than that, or you have feelings for that person, and you definitely hide it from your partner.
So it's that emotional cheating.
Yeah, emotional cheating. Or it can be actually emotional cheating, or maybe financial. It can be for also financial reasons. Just by using someone to get money from them, maybe, and you haven't told them actually that you're married or that you're actually in a relationship, using them emotionally without even being physically involved with them. And people just tend to have like really good excuses for this, like, oh, I haven't done anything with you and nothing has happened between us, and you're only a friend. If you understood something else, this is your problem. But no, you have been cheating on your partner.
I think that's exactly right. And a lot of the lines are really blurred now, I think it's fair to say, in terms of social media and dating apps. You know, it's never been easier to keep secrets, but it's also never been, easier to be found out as well, in terms of privacy as well. But you're absolutely right. Cheating comes in many, many forms. It's not just the intimacy or the physical side. It can be attentions or the sharing of information. Actually, there was a study done last year at Cardiff University, and they asked participants to look at messages on Facebook and pretend that their partner had received them. And they went from the physical, basically exchanging explicit messages, to the emotional, so messages like, you know, you're my soulmate, I feel so connected. And what they found was the women were more distressed by the emotional messages and the thought of their partner having an emotional connection with somebody else, whereas the men were more distressed and, you know, intimidated and angry about the thought about their partner physically cheating on them. So I think it's really interesting that you're coming to this discussion as a woman, saying that would be very, very hurtful if someone was to have that emotional connection away from the relationship.
Yeah, definitely. Even if physical like attraction isn't there, or physical involvement isn't there, emotion is enough, or at times it's actually even worse than physical involvement with someone or intimacy.
Thanks, Rana. So, really appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Pleasure.
Too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, women are cheating more today than ever before, so says Esther Perel, couples therapist and author of the book The State of Affairs. Actually, in fact, according to the research she cites, women in relationships are nearly 40% more likely to cheat on their spouses today than they were in 1990. Men are still cheating about 30% more, but the women are definitely rising up the ranks. Let's listen to her. She's Esther Perel, couples therapist, talking about why people cheat.
Often have been faithful for decades, one day cross a line they never thought they would cross. What's at stake? How do we make sense of this? How do we grow from that? Can it ever become an opportunity? Can a couple ever glean something that ultimately may strengthen it, rather than only seeing it from the point of view of the cataclysm? But this experience affects so many people. I have worked with hundreds, thousands of people who have been shattered by the experience of infidelity. At the heart of affairs, what is infidelity? Is the question people often ask me. How do I define it? And interestingly, there is no universally agreed upon definition of infidelity. And in fact, the definition keeps on expanding with the advent of the digital. You know, what is it? Is it staying secretly active on your dating app? Where is the lines? There has never been, it's never been easier to cheat, and it's never been more difficult to keep a secret. So an affair is organized around a structured element called secret. The second element is that there is a sexual aura, an alchemy. Not necessarily the presence of sex itself. It's not the bodily experiences, it's the energy, much more than the performance. And three, that there is an emotional involvement to one degree or another, from a deep love affair to even a transaction in which one pays for the other person to leave. But there is always a meaning to it. That is what I call the emotional involvement. Even when you try to make something mean nothing, it means a lot. Our current model of thinking says, if you have found the one and only, it means that you're willing to forgo everything else for that person, and you no longer miss anything else. If you have everything you need, there is no need to go looking elsewhere. If you have gone to look elsewhere, there must be something missing. Either there's something missing in you or in your relationship. We are very wedded today to looking at infidelity and transgressions from a symptom perspective. It's the symptom model. There must be something wrong. But I often was thinking that millions of people can't all be pathological. So if it is not the case that it is always a symptom, what is it? And one of the great discoveries and surprises in my research for the state of affairs was to notice that people would come and say, I love my partner, I'm having an affair. That sometimes people, even in satisfying relationships, also stray. And they don't stray because they are rejecting their relationship or because they are reacting to their relationship, but they often stray not because they want to find another person, but because they want to reconnect with a different version of themselves. It isn't so much that they want to leave the person that they are with, as much as sometimes they want to leave the person that they have themselves become. The more parts of yourself you can bring into a relationship, the less likely you may then be to go looking for the lost parts elsewhere.
We're talking about infidelity this afternoon, and I'm joined by Dr. Thuraya, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. She's on hand. This is your free clinic to get any advice that you might need on this topic. 4001, or use the Dubai iMessenger app to have your say, or you can give us a call, 04-423-1010. And you can, of course, remain anonymous. Message here saying, humans are basically high-level animals. So if you look within the animal kingdom, say at a herd of cattle, there is one dominant bull and it's his job to procreate. Same with big cats, apes, etc. Basically, men are driven at the most basic human animal level to want to procreate as often as possible. There is no switch that you can just turn off that physical need. Depending on a male's age and upbringing, it can be subdued, but the basic wanting is always there. Have your say, 4001. Now, something I do find interesting here, Dr. Wright, is actually about the blame when it comes to infidelity. And there was a study in 2017, so last year at Cardiff Metropolitan University, and they found that when a woman cheats, men blame her, not the man she cheated with. That leaves the woman to kind of weather that storm alone. But when a husband strays and there are two people to blame, the wife and the mistress, the women get the blame. So this isn't a kind of a new idea. And you think about when, you know, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Bill Clinton did pretty all right out of that dynamic. It was Monica Lewinsky whose reputation has suffered, you know, immeasurably over the last decade or so. And, you know, to use a kind of, you know, pop culture reference, when Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt divorced, it was Angelina Jolie who was painted as the victim for stealing away someone's husband, not Brad Pitt, for leaving or for cheating. And that's not to say women aren't responsible, but I do find it quite unfair that the blame seems to be put firmly at the woman's feet in both of those scenarios.
Well, that goes back to that perspective, right? That men don't have this impulse control, and that women are the ones that are more empathetic and emotional, and they should know better, and that they should be the ones that are supposed to, like, control this kind of... So that's why women get the blame, where if a man, like Bill Clinton at the time, where when he did cheat, he was like... People loved him. They were just like, yeah, you know, he's the man. Like, he had an intern and he had, you know, extramarital affair with her. So it comes with that perspective of it's good for men and it's okay for men to cheat. Whereas for women, you know, they should be the more empathetic, more emotional, more committed and faithful type. So how dare she? Mm-hmm. So that's where that disconnect comes from. And there's also the other perspective, which is quite degrading, with the perspective of, you know, women have that sexual power. So they have the power to say yes or no more than men do, because men are these like sexual creatures. That's what they are. So yeah,
it's just completely out of control.
Exactly.
All the time.
So, you know,
right.
It's sort of like the message of the animal kingdom, you know, like they can't control themselves. So that women have to be the ones to control the men, which is quite ridiculous.
That doesn't serve anybody.
Right. Yeah.
We'd like to get your opinions on this topic this afternoon, and also any questions that we can help with, and they can be anonymous. Message here says, no name please. My wife is more adventurous in wanting things and goes out and gets it, usually without discussion. I, however, am more cautious and look at how we pay for it if something goes wrong. She says I am negative in my views and go against her. I understand what she wants and the reason for wanting it. However, I do think, do we need it? Is this a negative view on life?
It's not a negative view on life. However, you don't want to also dismiss anything that your wife wants, but it may be trying to find a way where both of your needs and wants can be satisfied. So, yes, we don't need anything in life other than really food and shelter and water and financial security. Those are the things really we need in life. But at times, sometimes it's good to set a goal and to say, you know, this may not be something that we need, but because we want it and we deserve it, we can work towards it. So it's about finding the middle ground between the adventurous wife who wants to do everything and not really think of the financial repercussions of that, and then the husband who's really worried about the finances so much. So finding a middle ground is also very helpful.
And also communicating your point of view, saying this is the financial situation, this is why I'm worried. Perhaps she's not actually aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps she's looking for happiness outside of, you know, kind of material gains, which could be a bigger issue there as well. Do get in touch with your say this afternoon. We've had lots and lots of messages here. This is a real moral dilemma for you. And I did wonder if a question of this type would come in on the message line. Anonymous saying, in December, I found out that my best friend is having an affair with the husband of a mutual friend. This is not the first time. Is it right for me to confront her or do I keep ignoring it? I'm appalled and don't know what to do. Any advice would be appreciated. This is one of the biggest moral dilemmas I always hear about. Should I be the whistleblower on this? Should I insert myself into the situation? Would I want to know if my husband or wife was cheating on me? What should I do?
You know, in these kind of situations, it's usually the person's anxiety that leads the sort of path. So because this person, you know, when she found out or he found out that his partner's having an extramarital affair, they're very anxious and it goes against their value system. So they want to do something about it. But I always say, if your friend has asked you, or that has specifically told you that this is what I'm doing, as a friend, you know, friends are supposed to challenge each other. They're not supposed to just agree with everything. That's not a good friendship. And so, if you don't believe what the person is doing is correct, say something to them. But interjecting yourself into their life, you don't know the enough variables to put yourself in that kind of a situation. But if your friend is opening up to you and is telling you this is what I'm doing, then be honest. Tell her how appalled you are. And those are the words that she used. Like, I'm appalled by this. Then tell her. Be honest with her. Discuss it. Try to help her through it and her realize her mistakes and maybe get her to discuss it with her partner, but not interject into the relationship because you don't have enough information to really put yourself in a place where you might actually destroy more things than help.
Okay, I hope that helps. We're talking about Boardman marriage and infidelity this afternoon on The Couch. I'm joined by Dr. Thuraya, clinical psychologist at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic, to guide us through this topic and most importantly to answer your questions and address your concerns. 4001 on the text line, or get in touch using the Dubai iMessenger app, or you can give us a call, 04 423 1010. Lots of messages coming in, and they can be anonymous, of course. One saying, I can relate myself to the topic today. The moral that I have concluded is, when something is missing at home, you go out. That's what I, but the end is always bad. Another message saying, I think it all comes down to why people get married in the first place. If the reason is whatever that is disappears, then it will break down. Personally, I don't want to get married. Men can't be trusted. Now, I read out a message for you earlier, Thuraya, and let's address this and see if we can help. Anonymous message saying, hello, my husband recently got diagnosed with an STD. When he told me about it, he had no idea it was an STD. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have told me. I told him he should go and get another opinion, since it's impossible to have contracted an STD because I've never been with another man and he hasn't been with anyone else. We've been married for 11 years. From his reaction, it was obvious he had been unfaithful. I kept asking him to tell me if he has, and he just responds with, I'll never tell you if I have or if I haven't. Even though I cried and begged, he just wouldn't tell me. I honestly don't know what to do or how to react. It's really making me depressed. How can I make him open up to me? I don't even know if I want to know the truth, but I just can't stop thinking about it. Please help.
You know, it's unfortunate that this is the way that you found out, but the reality is that if he's not telling you, that means most probably he's admitting to cheating as well, because the reality is that STDs, they're called sexually transmitted diseases for a reason. If he's refusing to give you the details, then that's one thing. But just for him to say, I'm not going to tell you if I have or if I haven't, is enough of an admission to say that he has. You want to first consider, I would first say more than anything, you should probably get checked just to be on the safe side, because your health is just as important. And then after that, you need to make decisions and maybe see somebody professionally about whether or not this is something that you want to work through, or it's something that you want to figure out what to do next with.
Okay, hope that helps. Another anonymous message here saying, I have a boyfriend of 3 years. We're from different countries. Recently, I saw pictures of his ex-girlfriend in his phone. This lady is not in the UAE. Seeing the pictures broke my heart, and to make matters worse, his explanation on how he got the pictures isn't really making sense. Apparently, his family member, who disapproves of our relationship, suggested he go back to this lady, as I don't seem to be keen on marriage. Should I leave the relationship? I'm scared one day he might consider getting back with her. By the way, I'm a single mum to a boy from a relationship broken because of cheating. Such matters scare me a lot.
You know, this is, it's a really difficult thing to consider, because there are so many different variables that are here. Things like, you know, she said that she doesn't want, or she's not keen on getting married herself. And maybe that's not something that he's thinking of. Maybe he actually wants to get married. And there are some variables in the relationship that you might want to consider discussing in more depth, because, you know, regardless of whether or not he's going to go back to his previous girlfriend is not the issue. It's whether or not this relationship that you currently have with him is going to continue. And if you're not keen on marriage and not keen on getting married again, then he needs to know that. And if he does know that, is he okay with that long term, not just right now? So there are a lot of different things that need to be discussed that go beyond the pictures on his phone, because maybe that story is true, but ultimately it's irrelevant to the relationship. So focus more on your relationship and whether or not your relationship should be moving forward, or if it can move forward, and then sort of see what happens from there.
Okay, wise words. Quick question saying, I expect my wife is cheating on me, but no idea where to go from here. Are there detectives in Dubai I could hire? I think legally no is the short answer. But from your point of view, Dr. Thuraya, if this man suspects his wife is cheating on him and he wants to investigate this, should he maybe just confront her?
I always say confront. Confront is best, because ultimately nobody's going to tell you more than she will when you ask her.
She says it verbally or non-verbally.
Absolutely, because you can definitely tell a person. If you are married and you know the person enough, you will be able to tell when they're lying. So as soon as you ask the question, the reaction that you get will be enough to know.
And you don't need to hire any detectives. Interesting one. I haven't even thought about that being an option, but I think people snoop in phones a lot and, you know.
Right.
They're getting some detail.
Because you want to know, but at the same time, you don't want to know. And that's why you usually use the back door instead of actually like going through the front door and asking, what are you cheating on me? But I think ultimately the openness and the honesty in the relationship is key. Also, it's important for your partner to know that this is what you're thinking, and so that if something like that comes up, then their honesty might actually save the marriage rather than destroy it.
Okay, Dr. Thuraya, clinical psychologist, a co-owner at the Human Relations Institute and Clinic. Any final words for anyone who is worried about their marriage this afternoon?
I think I would definitely say number one key is effective communication in a relationship. So that is number one. Blame is not. It doesn't exist. So when it comes to a relationship and you say that I'm cheating, if you are not happy in the relationship, then leave the relationship. You don't have to cheat in order for this to make yourself happy. You have to recognize that ultimately, before, a long time ago, divorce used to exist for people to become happy. Now, for some reason, we're looking at divorce or infidelity as a way to be happier. And we
it's a really interesting way of looking at
it. Well, actually, it comes from Esther Perel, because she's really a genius when it comes to the idea of relationships and infidelity. And really, when we talk about cheating in general, like Grena had said before, it's emotional. Anytime you keep a secret from your partner, that is when you know you are cheating in one way or another. If you cannot tell your partner what you're doing, that in and of itself is an emotional or physical or psychological or whatever it is, cheating. So to stay away from that, be honest with yourself as well as be honest with your partner. Communicate. And if you can't communicate with them, find somebody that will help you communicate, either family members or a professional. But don't wait until the last minute, and don't wait to be found out, because there's nothing worse than a betrayal that comes from the partner that you think is there to protect you.
Dr. Thraya, thank you so much for your insights and wisdom this afternoon. Looking forward to having you back on the show.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.